In St. Matthew, the 18th chapter, I'd like to read a verse or two of Scripture there. We'll be reading in several different places tonight. St. Matthew 18, we'd like to read there. Praise the Lord. In verse 18, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." In Mark, the 3rd chapter, we read these words. Mark 3, verse 23. "And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end." 1 Peter, 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Please follow me if you have your Bibles. Peter writing to the church said in 2 Peter 1, verse 1, "Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." One other portion of Scripture, and from this portion of Scripture, I will take my text tonight. Ezekiel, the 7th chapter, and verse 23. Ezekiel 7, verse 23. The writer said in this particular verse, "Make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence." If the Lord will help me tonight, I would like to preach on this subject. Let us make a chain. Let us make a chain. I am against televisions. I am against jewelry. I am against makeup, any form, any fashion. I am against worldly amusements such as the ball games, skating rinks, bowling alleys, rodeos, Six Flags, you name it. If it has anything to do with the world, I'm against it. I am against adultery. I am against many things that the Bible teaches. The subject I'm about to preach to you tonight has done more damage to the holiness church and the holiness people than all of the other things put together. And I want to preach to you tonight that division among God's people has robbed us of our power with Almighty God. I know, and please don't think I'm preaching a compromising message, for I know what the Bible says, and I still believe in having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I believe that we ought to come out from among them and be ye separate. I know we cannot hook up with the modernistics and those of modern day religions. I know the Bible says thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. But I also know that God's Bible teaches that there is power in unity of God's people. And if we want to have the power of God in our midst, then we're going to have to make a change. And those of like precious faith, we must realize that we should not be battling one another, but we have one common foe and one common enemy, and that is the devil and sin. And we ought to make a change together and fight for that one purpose against our one common foe and our one common enemy. Listen to me, brother. The Bible teaches in making a chain. The Bible teaches unity. We have reached the point now, if you preach over here for so-and-so, then you can't preach for me over here. Amen. If you go over there and sing, then you can't come over here and sing. I don't care to tell you, I'm tired of such foolishness. Amen. I'm tired of such kiddish games. I think, brother, it's time that we come back to the Bible and see that God is trying to unite us together. Those of us that believe in holiness, that believe in separation, that believe in dedication, God wants us to get together and make a chain that's strong enough, amen, to refuse the powers of darkness and repel the power of the enemy. While we have fussed and fought and feuded over small things that are very little importance, the devil has slipped in among us and robbed us of our children and our youth and took them out into the world and destroyed them while we fought over minor issues that matter very little. Y'all going to help me while I preach tonight? In the book of Exodus, the 17th chapter, there was a man by the name of Moses. Joshua's down fighting the battle. And as long as Moses had his hands up, they were winning the battle. But oh, when Moses' hands became heavy and he couldn't hold his hands up any longer, then the enemy began to triumph over the children of Israel. It looked like, amen, that they were going to defeat, amen, the very people of God because Moses was unable to hold his hand up at all times. But there was a couple other men up there on that mountain with Moses by the name of Aaron and Hur. Come on out here, brother friend. And they got together and said, look, Moses, as long as he's got his hands up, sit down there, brother. As long as he's got his hands up, amen, he's winning the battle. But when his hands go down, the enemy's winning. Maybe we ought to make us a little three-link chain here. Amen. They took Moses and set him over on a rock. And brother, come here and help me, brother Robinson. And one of them got on one side of him. And one of them got on the other side of him. And they held up Moses' hands in the presence of God. And God wrought a great victory there with just a little three-link chain. And God said, write this in a book and rehearse it, and it shall be for a memorial. Brother, I'm trying to tell you tonight, there's a remedy for God's people, and that's for us to get back together and quit feuding and fussing and fighting over the little things that's destroying the faith that was once delivered to the saints of God. And let's make a change so strong that the devil can't break through our lines. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus believed in a chain. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, then I'll make up that other link. There'll be another link there. Anytime there's two or three, there'll be another one. Help me while I preach tonight. I know a holiness church that just come to my mind in the state of Arkansas, and many of you know about it. There was a day when that church was much on fire for God. The devil come in and burnt that building down. But that didn't stop God's people. They united together and built that building back up and kept on having church. The devil came and burned it down again. Say, the second time, that's right. And they built it back again and kept on having church. And the power of God kept on blessing and working in that church. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Brother Camel, you may can help me on that. Did they burn Mount Tabor down three times? They burned it down the third time. And that church did not stop it, brother. They got together. They worked together. And they built her back the third time out of stone and out of rock. But oh, let me tell you something. There came a day when the devil saw he could not destroy that church from on the outside. And so he went on the inside and put division among the people. And part of them pulled off and went down the road over here. And part of them stayed over there. And these over here won't have nothing to do with these over there. And these over there won't have nothing to do with these over here. Oh, it's true, they still shout at both places. But there's some unfinished business that's going to come out of the judgment of Almighty God. Anytime the chain of fellowship is broken among God's people, brother, somebody's going to have to answer in the judgment of God for breaking the chain. Woo! My Lord, I feel it coming on tonight. I'm preaching about let's make a chain. Let's make a chain, brother. You say, Brother Rich, there's some things about you that I just don't like. Well, there may be some things about you that I just don't like. But if you'll join together with me in fighting against sin, in fighting against the devil, in trying to preserve our youth and the faith of holiness, then if the things that I don't like about you, I'll look over it in love and forbear that. If you'll look over my faults in love and forbear them, and we'll work together and build a chain, brother, to where we can defeat the devil and defeat his purpose. Say, yes, sir, you're preaching one of them compromisers. Oh, no, I'm not preaching one of those compromisers because most of our compromising preachers won't preach what I'm getting ready to preach tonight. Amen. And a lot of our holiness people won't preach it either. But I'd like to tell you, brother, that God is getting sick and tired of this division and this fussing and this feuding and fighting among God's people. Let me tell you something, brother. It's getting pretty bad when both men claim to be holiness. Amen. Both men claim to be preaching the gospel when they cannot kneel down beside one another and pray at the same altar. Amen. Something has happened. Something has happened that needs to be made amend. I say tonight, let's make a chain. Let's work together. It could be that God would help us if we'd unite together and we could fulfill Daniel's prophecy. In the end day, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits if we can make a chain for God. Listen to me tonight. There's always some in the church that we do not feel are living up to the standards that we preach. But every holiness church, I believe, ought to have those among them who are convicted but not converted. Amen. Some that are converted, but not sanctified and dedicated. Amen. Some that are dedicated and consecrated and sold out for holiness. We ought to be having all three groups right in the holiness church. Can you say amen? Amen. If you don't have anybody coming to your church, amen, that's lost, then the church light is not shining out like it should be shining out. Y'all gonna help me and let me preach to you tonight. I'm telling you, it's time that we made a chain. It's time that we got together and made us a chain so strong that the devil cannot break through, our boundaries cannot break through and steal our loved ones out from under us. And it'll only happen when God's people band together in unity and in love. In the second chapter of the book of Mark, somebody got the news around that Jesus was in the city, that he was teaching in a certain house, and there was a man there, and he said, probably said in his heart, I've got a friend down here that's sick with palsy. If I could just get him down there where Jesus is at, Jesus could make him whole. But I know that I can't get him down there by myself. And I can see him go over and say, buddy, I've got a friend over here that's sick with palsy. And this man Jesus that heals the sick, raises the dead, opens blinded eyes, unstops deaf ears, he's down here teaching. And if we could just get this man down there, amen, I believe he'd be healed. Would you help me? And he gets another link to go in his chain. And now he's got him a two-link chain. But one of them says to the other, listen, we'll have to take bed and all, and I'm sure that we can't carry it by ourselves. Well, maybe we can get somebody else. Sir, would you help us? There's a man called Jesus down here that has all kind of power, but we can't get our friend to Him by ourselves. We've got to have some help in getting our loved one into the presence of Jesus. Would you come over and help us? And now he's got him a three-link chain. Amen. And some of them said, now look, if we try to carry this bed, just the three of us, there's going to be one corner that's let down. Amen. We need somebody else to hold up this other corner. And I'd like to ask you tonight, can you look around and see where the corners have been let down? Is there a place where you can get in this chain and hold up your corner and help us get men and women to Jesus Christ that their lives might be changed? So they go out and say, buddy, there's a man called Jesus down here. And he's got all kinds of power. He can heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. We got a friend up here sick on a bed. Would you come and help us? We got to get him down. Now we've got a four-link chain. And they go over. Amen. Stay right behind. Right behind us. Amen. We got us a four-link chain. And we're going to get the fifth link, the needy man. And we're going to get him into the presence of Jesus. But what if this one says, amen, I don't believe I want to carry my corner. It's going to be hard to get it done. Or suppose this brother here says, I'd be glad to help if I could work in front, but I don't like to carry back here in the back. If we can get men to Jesus Christ, we ought to make a chain and bring them to Jesus, the one that can help them. Oh, here they go. Come on with me, boys. Four-link chain. Got a fifth link that's disabled right in the middle of them. Amen. Carrying them down. Amen. Where are you going, boys? Amen. Didn't you hear? That man Jesus is down here. And I couldn't get my sick friend down there by myself. But oh, I got me a four-link chain here. And we're going to get him down there. Got there. And you couldn't get in the door. Amen. But it's because of the crowd. So they decided together, let's work together in cooperation. We'll get him up on top of the house. Amen. Quite an effort. But they got him up there. They tore up the roof. Amen. They lifted and actually raised the roof. Amen. Get men to Jesus, even if you've got to raise a roof to do it. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Amen. They got him down there to Jesus. They tore up that roof and they let him down. And when Jesus looked around, he didn't look at that poor man sick of palsy. And he did not look at the hole in the roof. But he looked at that four-link chain. And the Bible said when he saw their faith, he said to this man that's sick of palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And later on he said, take up thy bed and walk. Do you know somebody that you'd like to get to Jesus? Why don't you make a chain of prayer and a chain of fasting and work together with God's people? And it could be that we could get them into the presence of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel like preaching tonight, so I'm just going to preach a while. I'm preaching on making a chain. Oh, you say, Brother Rich, do you really believe in it? Jesus said, if a house divided against itself, it cannot stand. There's only one thing that can stop the holiness people, and the devil knows that. Amen. Oh, yes, he's attacked us with worldliness, and he's attacked us with a lot of things, but he knows if he can divide us, he can rob us of our power, and he can scatter the power of the holy people of God. One time, rather humorous, I think, and yet it's hurtful. One time I was preaching a youth rally, and my subject was flee youthful lust, the war against the soul. Quite a subject. And I was preaching to the young people, and I told them most of the young people I know how to go out on a date. It's coming in from a date when it needs some instructions. And that's what I was there for, is to give them instructions on how, not how to go out, but how to come back in. And the date time, we had the youth there. And at night we opened it up and it was a meeting just like this. Mothers, fathers, everybody could come. Brother Fred, you're aware of this. I believe you are, what I'm getting ready to tell. Amen, because your brother was helping me. And you know what we did? We had a Holy Ghost move. The Lord told me in the Spirit as I was praying, said it's going to be a Holy Ghost youth camp. And I told that, I said, we're going to have a Holy Ghost youth camp. The Lord's done told me that, and I'm serving notice on the devil. We're going to have it. I didn't know we had a printer among us. He went home that afternoon, got his printing press rolling, made up a bunch of little handbills and began to tack them around on the post. Brother Rich has declared unto the devil, we're going to have a Holy Ghost youth camp. Amen. Begin to tack them. Was you there, Treba? All right. Brother, that's exactly what we had. Amen. You'll remember it's a Baptist on the campground. They come down to sell us hot dogs and cold drinks about 9 o'clock. But we couldn't close down at 9 o'clock. At 11, they still hadn't sold no hot dogs. Amen. We were still shouting and the Holy Ghost was still falling. And they went home and come back the next night and didn't sell no hot dogs the second night. Nor the third night, they give it up and never come back. But we had about 27 baptized with the Holy Ghost. I don't know how many we had saved and baptized them in water right out there. And the water baptized them in water. News got around. Brother Rich preached a youth camp. And one holiness man come to me. Heard you preach an old youth camp. I said, no, I preached a youth camp all right. Well, he said, I don't believe in youth camps. Is that right? I said, that's right. Just don't believe in it. Don't believe in segregating. Bringing the young people in for a service all alone. I think everybody ought to be taught and preached to together. Said Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. Amen. Set them down, women and children, and taught them. And that he did. But listen. I asked the man, I said, do you have just one big Sunday school class then, I guess, in your church? Or do you separate the little ones from the... Oh, we have separate classes. I said, well, there's no difference in that and the youth camp. But he said that it was serious enough offense for him to break fellowship with me for preaching a youth camp. Did you ever hear of such foolishness? Gonna break the chain. Gonna break the chain because he didn't believe in a youth camp. My Lord, when you're trying to get people to Jesus, trying to get young people to come in and give up sin in the world and the things of the world and live a dedicated life, why let some little frivolous belief that don't amount to nothing that's hatched up in somebody's mind keep us from having church and keep us from having fellowship one with another? Well, I'm not expecting a lot of amens, but I'm going to preach it anyhow. I'm telling you the thing that's robbing us of our power. Out in the state of Oklahoma where I'm from and Brother Ralph Campbell is from, you know why we're not seeing very many folks saved? Amen. Too many times the chain's been broken. And it's been broken just recently, hasn't it? Amen. I believe the chain could have been kept together if men of God would got together. Amen. And sought God for divine wisdom and divine understanding and open the Word of God and searched out God's Bible. I believe it could still be together and see the power of God still working in our camp meetings and in our revivals. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? I'm preaching on making a chain. You may feel like you don't need that one sitting next to you. Reminds me, whenever I was just a young man, about 16, I was helping my Uncle Fred move. And he had a son the same age as me who was always, you know, showing his biceps, his muscles. Real old Melvin really thought he was strong. So he was carrying out a big freezer. And Melvin was on the front of it. I was on the back of it. And Uncle Fred was kind of down underneath it. And we was carrying it out to load it in the truck. And as we carried it out, my cousin Melvin, which Uncle Fred was his dad, amen, Uncle Fred stepped on the heel of his shoe. Aggravated my cousin Melvin. He said, just turn it loose, Dad. Said, you're not lifting a pound anyhow. When Dad turned it loose, we dropped the freezer. Amen. He was lifting much more than we thought he was lifting. And I'd like to tell you that one that's hooked into that chain with you, you may not feel like you need them. But if that chain is ever broken, you may feel the weight that they was carrying in the work of the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Over there, I'd like to take you over to the plain of Dura. We've got a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. And he built him a big golden image. And erected over there in the plain of Dura. And he gave out commandment. Amen. That as the sound of the music, everybody's going to bow. Amen. But there was three old boys there who had been carried out of the land of the Hebrews into Babylon, who knew the true and the living God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they got together. Come on up here, a couple of you boys, and help me again. Amen. Listen to me. Just two of you. Come on. Amen. They got together. And I can hear old Shadrach say, I'm not going to bow, you Abednego. And I can hear Abednego say, no, sir, I'm not going to bow. How about you? What's the other's name? Shadrach, Meshach. Meshach, how about you? Are you going to bow? No, I'm not going to bow. Amen. Well, what if it gets real rough and they try to kill us? We'll just link together. If we go down, we'll go down together. We're going to make us a little free link chain out here. And when the music was playing, everybody fell down, all except that little three-link chain. And here they are standing while everybody else is kneeling. It may have been they'd been kneeling while everybody else was standing. Amen. Now they're able to stand while everybody else is kneeling. But here they've got them a little three-link chain saying, we're not going to bow. Amen. Everybody fell down at the sound of the music. But these three men had their mind made up. We're not going to bow. Attention was brought to King Nebuchadnezzar. Those men that you carried out of the land of the Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will not bow. The king said, bring them in. He said, now I'm going to give you a second opportunity. At the sound of the music, I want you to bow down. And if you won't bow, you're going to go into the fiery furnace. Amen. And be cast into the fire. And a lot of folks that didn't bow in the first verse of that music bowed on the second. We've got a lot of folks today that stood up for holiness for years and righteousness for years, but when they're playing the second verse now, and a lot of them are kneeling down to the modernistic trends. But oh, let's get together and let's hold up the standard and band together. So here they are. They played the music the second time, but they still didn't bow. One of them said, oh king, we're not careful to answer you concerning this matter. For our God, which we serve continually, He is able to deliver us. But if He does not deliver us, we're still not going to bow. The king went into a rage. Said, heat that furnace 7 times hotter than is wont to be heated. And we'll cast that little three-link chain into the furnace. It don't mount to very much. Come on out here, brother Fred, and help us. It don't mount to very much. Just a little three-link chain. Amen. We're going to cast it in. Come right over here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. We're going to cast them in to the fire. Amen. They took those men and bound them up. Amen. Bound up them in their clothing. Amen. Bound them up. And because the king's commandment was so urgent, those that took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the fire, they were overtaken themselves by the flame. Amen. And here Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down in the flames of that burning fire. But after a while, the king decided to take him a look inside that fiery furnace. Remember, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And I can hear old Nebuchadnezzar say, didn't we cast a three-link chain in there? My Lord, that chain's got four links in it now. And that fourth link is likened to the Son of God. What I'm trying to tell you, brother, if we'll band together and work in unity and love and make a chain for God, whether it's in the fiery furnace of affliction or shouting hallelujah in the camp meeting, the Lord's going to be there if we'll make a chain of unity in His name. Hallelujah. Let's make a chain. Why, Brother Rich? Because the land is full of bloody crimes. And the city is full of violence, the text said. Amen. Why should we band together? Because there is 11.25 million divorces filed last year in the United States of America. There's almost 70,000 forcible rapes committed annually right here in this nation. Over 22 million confessed alcoholics. Over Over 20 million confessed homosexuals. Amen. There's a crime every few minutes. A murder every few minutes. Brother, it's not a time for God's people to fight one another. It's a time for us to make a chain and fight against sin and the devil and the powers of hell that's destroying this nation and taking us into hell. I say let's make a chain. One other thing, Brother Fred. Amen. Whenever I was pastoring a church, there's a little boy. I went to visit a home, and I never seen a home quite so bad. Filthy home. Went into it. And the mother and father wasn't interested in coming to church. They had a little old boy. And I said, well, won't you let your son come to Sunday school? I'll come and pick him up. And they said, well, if you'll come and pick him up, we'll let him come to Sunday school with you. So I went to pick him up. And when I got in the first day of Sunday, his clothes was tattered and torn. And he didn't have any shoes. So I brought him on to church barefooted. While I was at the church that morning, I said, told the folks, I said, here, called him by name, brought him up there. I said, now, I don't want a lot of money from anybody. Just want a little bit of money from everybody. We're going to get this boy some clothes and some shoes to wear to church. And so we got the money and went and bought him some shoes and went and bought him a nice shirt and nice pair of slacks and socks. And went to pick him up the next Sunday. And he come out with one shoe on and one shoe off. And I said, what's wrong here? He said, well, I wondered if it'd be better for me to go to church with barefooted or with one on and one off. He said, I can't find the other one. I said, you mean you've done lost one of those new shoes? I sure have. Can't find it anywhere. He said, well, I guess it'd be better for you to go barefooted. Took the other one off and took him on to church with me barefooted. We'd replace that. Every time I'd pick him up, his mother wouldn't help him with his clothes. His shirt would either be torn or his pants would be so dirty, I was almost ashamed to take him to church. But I kept, for some strange reason, I kept hauling him to church. He kept carrying in my Bible for me. Amen. Just loved to get a hold of my Bible. Hand me that Bible. Just loved to get a hold of my Bible and carry it in for me. He carried in for me and he carried out every service. On Sunday morning, he carried in and carried out. Well, one Sunday I went to pick him up and I bought him a new shirt, I believe. And when he come out, amen, he had that shirt tore. And it was so dirty. And I began to scold him. And I said, son, I'm getting so tired of this coming to pick you up. And look at you, the way you look. You lose everything I buy you. I said, I don't even know why I even bother to come and pick you up. The little boy said, I'll tell you why, Brother Rich. You need me, that's why. And I said, why do I need you? You need me to carry your Bible in for you. That's what. And I thought, and something about that touched me. And I said, okay, son, I need you. Come on. But in my mind, I thought, now, he really thinks I need him. And I could carry my Bible in there easy. I really don't need him. A few Sundays went by, and we had an issue in the church that had to be dealt with. And if you've got something that needs to be dealt with, you're going to have to deal with it sooner or later, or it'll take control of the church. So it come to pass on that day that God dealt with me to take care of that issue. And I dealt with that issue. And when Brother Rich deals with an issue, you know it's been dealt with. And as I began to preach, amen, it got quieter and quieter till nobody was saying amen. Nobody was saying praise the Lord. Amen. No one was. I mean, it got as still as death except for my voice as I began to deal with that issue. Finally, we dismissed the service. Folks usually visited, but they filed out quietly that day and moved out quickly out of the door. All except for the deacon board. And I saw them standing up on the platform. And they got their heads together. And they began to talk. And I had a feeling I knew what they was talking about. And I was feeling pretty low. And I didn't know what was going to happen. Amen. I didn't know whether I'd be going on down the road or just what. And I began to ease over closer on the platform. So maybe I could get a little earshot at what they were saying. All of a sudden, I saw a barefoot step up on that platform. I looked around. Here come that child. He looked over, put that little old hand up on my back, and started patting it. Said, Brother Rich, you're my preacher man, Brother Rich. And he looked over at those deacons. Said, this is my preacher man. Said, didn't he preach good today? Said, didn't my preacher man preach good? And begin to look them right in the eye. I thought, oh, son, I didn't think I needed you in this thing. But yes, sir, come on here. I need you in my chain. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Amen. We need one another. in this chain. Amen. Gross darkness is covering the earth. Darkness is covering the earth. And gross darkness of people. And unless we can get together and make a chain, our next generation, if there is one, will not know what holiness is. Going to split and divide and devour one another. My Bible said if we bite and devour one another, take heed lest we be consumed one of another. Oh, I know it's not a camp meeting message, but God told me to preach it in this camp meeting. And so I'm going to preach it. Let me tell the folks something here at Gilbertown and the Gilbertown churches. If you folks will work together and fight the devil together, you can do something for God. But if y'all turn on one another and start fighting one another, your purpose is defeated. And you'll find no results. No youth. I go into churches all the time where there's no young people. Where there's not much spirit. Amen. There's not much power. And all they're doing is bickering and fighting and fussing and feuding. Oh, don't you look at me so strange. But I'll tell you, our youth are not ignorant. They know, Brother Robinson. Amen. They know, amen, that that's not of God. Amen. We can get up and button our shirts up. I wear mine like this quite a bit. We can button our shirt up so tight, and if we're going to unbutton the top button, we'll put a pin down here. Amen. Afraid we're going to, maybe one hair on our chest might show through the shirt. But I'll tell you, when we get in the church and we go to bickering and fussing and fighting, amen, and trying to devour one another, I want you to know, brother, there's not an ounce of holiness in it. I said there's not an ounce of holiness in it. Amen. Holiness is not only outward adorning, but it's inward unity of the brotherhood, those that have obtained like precious faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let me hurry on here. Making it pretty good now. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, there was about 120 links in that chain. And the Holy Ghost fell when they all got in that one accord. Woo! Hooked up tight. Amen. 120 link chain, approximately. And here they are hooked up so tight. One core, one accord, one mind. We're waiting on one thing, and that's for the promise of the Father. And on the day of Pentecost, when they got in one accord, suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And cloven tongues like as a fire set up on each of them. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Listen to me. Amen. When they come out of that upper room, they were staggering like drunken men and women. 120 of them. Amen. All of a sudden, folks begin to question. Amen. A crowd began to gather. These must be drunk on new wine. But Peter decided to preach. Oh, hallelujah. And you know what he did? When he stood up and took his text, 11 links stood right up with him. You'll read it. Peter standing up with 11. Oh, give me 11 good Holy Ghost preachers behind me, backing me with their amens, saying, preach it, Brother Rich, preach it. And let's make 11 link chain, and let's see what happens. We've got 120 link, and 11 links pushing for Peter. Amen there, standing up with him. As he preaches that sermon, all of a sudden, somebody cries out, men and brethren, what must we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Clunk, 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 clunk. And immediately 3,000 links was added to that 120 link chain. Am I telling it right? Look what a chain they got. Amen. 3,000 links. Amen. Added to that chain. Later on, I believe there's about 5,000 more links. And then they went everywhere preaching the word. Amen. The Bible said, amen, that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and they had all things in common, and they that believed were together. And immediately, amen, the Lord began to save and add to the church daily such as should be saved. Let me tell you something. If we want to reach the lost, we're going to have to band together and make a chain to reach them. Can you say amen? Oh, yes. Well, old Brother Dritch drinks Pepsi, so it's not going to help him when he gets up and preach.
Yeah, but your little daughter might be out there lost and undone. And old Brother Rich might be the man that can touch her with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You better make a chain with me. Amen. There may be some things about me you don't like. But oh, let me tell you something. If I get down, a couple of you good strong links, amen, get on each side of me and hold me up. And when I get back on my feet, I'm going to fight on your side. Yes, I will. I'll fight for you. Don't you want a man like me fighting with you? Amen. You'd sure rather have me fighting with you than fighting against you, wouldn't you? Amen. Help me when I get down. Amen. Link and band together with me and I'll fight with you on your side. And we'll win the victory over the devil if we'll make a chain. Listen to me. One time a friend of mine from Oklahoma, myself, was down in Mexico. I've been stuck a lot of times down in Mexico. Sister Gail can vouch for that. Remember when I was stuck in the mud over there one time going to Las Colonias, I believe it was. Remember that old black mud? I'm telling you, that stuff is something else. But I tell you, a lot of folks come by to help me. But nobody had anything to help me with. But finally, there's a fella come along, had a chain that would reach to me where I was down in the mud. He hooked on that chain onto me. And brother, he took me right on out of that mud hole. My old truck began to shake when he started pulling. His vehicle began to shake. And that reaction reached down that chain and pull me out of the mud. Oh, we've got, most of us have the nice churches. We have nice carpet on the floors. We have good singing. But do we have that chain of unity and love that'll reach those that are stuck in the mud? Amen. That'll reach out from the solid place where we're standing. I'm not telling you to get down in the mud with them. If you do, you'll be stuck down there. Keep your feet up on solid ground. But have a chain long enough that'll reach out to that lost man, that lost woman, that boy or girl. Amen. And bring them to Jesus Christ. Son, I want you to listen to the gospel tonight while I'm preaching. You hear me? Hallelujah. I'm preaching on let's make a chain. Hallelujah. Let's make a chain. Hallelujah. Oh, it's so needful. I'm telling you, if we don't make a chain, if we don't band together, if we don't work together, the devil's going to destroy in just a few years everything that we put together over the past few decades. I'm telling you, let's work together and make a chain. Oh, hallelujah. When I was pastoring a church at Norman, had some wonderful saints in the Norman church. That's right. And I had some that wasn't doing as good as I liked for them to do. And then I had some that I just was a question mark in my mind about them. But they still come to my church. And anybody that comes to my church, if they need me when they're sick, I go. I don't care how they're living or what they're doing. I go and try to minister to them. We had a young man that took down in the sick in his home. Sister Myers knows this young man real well. One of the Graham boys, Galen Graham. And Galen took down real sick. His mother, you may be aware of it, Brother Fred. His mother took him to the doctor after several days of dehydration. The doctor examined him and said, we've got to admit him immediately. He's going to die. And Galen refused to be admitted into the hospital. Told his mother, said, take me home and get Brother Rich to come and pray for me. Took him home. Several days that went by, hadn't eaten anything. Finally reached the place where he drank water. And as he drank water, he'd vomited right back up again. And his body was dehydrating. Finally, I went out and prayed for Galen. And I prayed over an hour. And when I got through praying, I must tell you the truth. He was worse than he was before I started. I went back into the city to start the service that night. And after church, I gathered the deacons together. And we went out and we prayed for that boy for over an hour. And when we left, he was worse than he was before. The next morning I went back out, prayed for him again. And the more I prayed, the worse he seemed to get. When I started back into town, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, if you'll take the church out to Sister Graham and Brother Graham's house and pray for Galen, I'll raise him up. And I thought, well, Lord, I've had the deacons out there. And I've been out there praying. The Lord told me, said, if you'll take the church, I'll heal him. I pondered that in my heart for a while. Is this really the voice of the Lord? Or is it something that's just came to me? Or is it the voice of the Lord speaking to me? And finally, God so convinced me that I went home and started calling folks on the phone. Now make sure it's the Spirit of the Lord. But I began to tell them, God told me, if I take the church out there to that trailer and pray for Galen, God would heal him. I called everybody in the church except for a few. I didn't have no confidence in much. We set a time to go and pray. We was getting ready to go. And God spoke to me again and said, have you done what I ask you to do? Are you taking the entire church? I said, sure, Lord, except for so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. The Lord said, I told you to bring the church. I got on the phone and I called those that I did not believe in wholeheartedly. And we set a time to meet. And when we met there, I believe we had almost 100% of the church gathered there. We went in that little old trailer and we began to fill that place up. Some were praying in closets. Some were praying back in the utility room. Others were praying in the kitchen bedrooms. They told me that even some couldn't find room and they was praying over in the bathtub. We filled that trailer up.